Yeah, it's recording now.
I assume that the facilitator is going to lead the final session of our activity. What have you got in mind, facilitator?
Good morning, Chair members. I'm just suggesting that I have gone last night and captured to the best of my ability everything that we have considered last night. Now, if you have a copy of the document in front of you, I think we should maybe just take 5 minutes, if you okay, just to read through it. I know you just got it, it's hot off the press. Maybe just 5 minutes to satisfy yourself that the document is fairly accurate, or maybe make some pointers on there where you think I should make some changes. Because then I think after that we can just go through it block by block again, maybe just quick read through it, and then satisfy ourselves in that maybe that's what you want to adopt, or I can take the changes with me back and so on, the changes you've seen fit. Now, just I did mention in the front of the document under key issues, there are two things I think that we did miss yesterday, and that's maybe firstly, the first thing is the study minutes. I think some international experience and of committees when we undertake at least two study visits during overseas visits during the 5 year term. So maybe we need to put that in. And then the other one is maybe to, on the key issues, I think we need to maybe consider, Mr. Chair, I don't want to, I know this is a difficult territory, but maybe we should look at how the committee wants to address the issue of making sure that it's got the correct support. It came out as a key issue, it was mentioned at least 3 or 4 times yesterday. And I think maybe we want to, even if you say, not that we say there's anything wrong with the current staff, but that we make sure that the committee has the correct support, and maybe even if we leave it as it is now under the key issue, maybe just have in the back of our minds throughout always, but if we want to do something about it, maybe arrange training or some form of capacitation, then maybe we want to look at that. So that's what I wanted to leave there. I don't need to comment on that, but that's what I think. If you give me 5 minutes, maybe to work through it, read through it, and then we can just capture the issue as I come up.
Say that I don't know, given the fact that there's apparently a standard template that is used develop a committee strategic plan, whether this is in line with that. But from the school where I come from, your strategic plan must reflect also your vision and mission. Because the question is, all this effort, where is it heading? What do you ask me to want to achieve? What's the end state that you're looking at? And if you don't have that kind of picture, then what's the fuss about? And the mission for me is saying, you know, as this committee, what role are we going to play to contribute towards the realization of that vision? What I would call a mission statement. To me, it is a way in which we inspire ourselves in terms of the kind of things that we ourselves are going to do and are doable from where we are. To contribute towards the realization of that vision. So I would be more comfortable if this morning we were able to do some kind of exercise around that.
Jake, good morning, colleagues. I don't think this exercise was intended for us to draw up a business plan for ourselves as a committee, or is it a strategic plan for the office of the AG? But I take your point that maybe we should put the vision and mission of the office of the AG as something right up at front, and indicate that it's something that we sort of buy into. But I don't know if we should have a mission and a vision as a committee.
I think in my opening remarks yesterday, I said that the part that you have of the business plan in front of you is part four of a document that normally consists of four parts. And the first, second, and third part, the third part would be the values and the policies. The second part would be the strategic objectives. But the first part would be the first part would be the core objectives and contain the mission for the institution of which the committee is a part, which is Parliament. So, like I said, the committee and all other units within Parliament fit into that mission and the vision of Parliament. So I think for the committee itself, the vision and the mission are Parliament's vision and mission. And with what we achieve here, we all work towards achieving that mission. The Auditor General as an outside independent office, they've got their own vision and mission. But the committee itself and Parliament itself has its own vision and mission. And like I said also, that process and that vision and mission is being written at the moment. And I know committees and chairpersons and the chief workers and the POA, all of them have got an input into that process. So this document and this business plan section of this document will be is informed by Parliament's vision, mission, core objectives, strategic objectives, policies and values. And this, like I said, is part four of that document. So this, there is a vision, there is a vision.
I'm thinking some other ideas.
Sure.
Being given another version of the story. I am being given another version of the story, and that version is that in fact the strategic plans of all other committees that have gone through this exercise do reflect their specific vision. Which if correct suggests that what then happens is that actually the committee's vision and mission become the building block of Parliament's overall vision and mission, and actually give direction to that vision and mission. At the bottom-up approach as opposed to a top-down approach where Parliament should grant for everyone what their vision should be without regard to the particular or unique kind of role that they have to play. But that the idea would then be that when Parliament develops those vision and mission, that vision and mission should seek to encompass that which all the other committees think like you. I don't know. But that's another perspective. I would say let's give it a short and rather Parliament throws it out rather than leave it out and only to find that our circuit extent is incomplete, then we can come back and correct the incompleteness in this form. That would be my suggestion. And it won't lose anything.
Everybody's had an opportunity to go through the documents. If this has start from the top. At the record, I'm not going to go through the mandate and the function of this committee, because we've basically taken that straight from the left.
I think you should go through the mandate, because I don't think there's any sort of correction in terms of wording, I think. Under the function, you've got the word there, painstakingly. I don't think it's the right word. I think that word should come out, and it should after committee say as. And on the second bullet point, it should say advising if you're going to keep with the grammatical flow. Thank you.
Secondly, the way it says the Public Audit Act 10-6, you take out the word 10-6, it's just the Public Audit Act steps out the function.
No, they're all this eloquent character. I think it's good
company. Okay, any other? Okay. The first bullet says consulting the person. I don't know if it's particularly interesting, or should I just read the report?
I just want to know, is this the exhaustive list of the functions? Is it every function? Okay. We don't want to miss any else. Or is it? It's exhaustive list.
You've of course done it with the help of RGO and other didn't work out allowed.
And then for the last line, information office. Information office, I think with the old.
Any comments? Excuse me, can you just use the microphone, please?
Can I just ask, I'm not sure why we're bringing section 65.2 into the equation. instead of bringing chapter 9 as such. I'll tell you why. I think that throughout the document yesterday and today, section 55 has been misquoted in the sense that I am not picking up reference to constitutional bodies in section 55. I'm only picking up executive institutions. My interpretation of the structure of our constitution suggests that chapter 9 institutions are independent of the executive, they're not part of the executive. Because if we say they're part of the executive, it means they're not independent of the executive. Now, how do they hold the executive accountable? So, conceptually, I think we have it fundamentally wrong there. If we are worried about whether chapter 9 refers to us, I can assure you that it actually does, even though maybe not expressly. Because we are the body that Parliament by legislation created, namely the Public Bodies Act, created to exercise oversight on the Auditor General, which is a chapter 9 institution. And Parliament did so, deriving the authority to do so from chapter 9. Because chapter 9 says that all these institutions, one, are accountable to it as in the National Assembly, and two, must report to it at least once. So your scope, which receives those reports, and your COEX, which holds those bodies accountable, or the AG accountable, were created under the authority of Chapter 9 by Parliament as tools to receive this report from the AG office and to hold the AG accountable. So this whole reference chapter, I've been wondering the whole day yesterday, why have I not thought of section 55 too? What does section 55 too say? And now I'm checking it, I don't see anything in section 55 too that relates to chapter 9 institutions. It relates to exactly what. So somebody must convince me that I'm wrong.
Could, okay, so just give my interpretation, section 55.2. What section 55.2 says is that there must be an oversight mechanism over any organ of state.
Does it say over any organ?
Yeah, it's the B part of 2. And we, at this point in time, our interpretation is that the Auditor General is an organ of state.
That part is correct. I just didn't. You see, I'm relying on other eyes here, and the eyes that write for me did not mention organ of state. Did you? Alright, I missed that. Now, if it does refer, then clearly, but surely, I don't think that section 55.2 on its own is sufficient to define the basis on which our committee exists as relates to the AG's office. I think we do need to refer to chapter 9. Yes. Probably even more specifically, the section in chapter 9 that refers to the role of the office of the audit standard.
So we can include to say that section 55.2 and section 1.0.
Yeah. Or for that matter, section 59. Just to avoid having to grapple with which sections of chapter 9 are applicable.
Where do you include it?
Sorry?
Where did you suggest that they include it?
If you take, for example, number 1, mandate of the committee,
then you come to the Auditor General was established by the National Assembly in terms of Section 52. Maybe we could say read with Chapter 9 of the Constitution. So that would create the linkage. I think it's fine. Established directly relates to Section 52 and in terms of the role specifically there to the second part of Chapter 9. So it's fine. And everywhere else where we refer to Section 55.2 in relation to the role of God, I think we should also include Chapter 9. Yeah, because we've already included the public audit. Section 10B of the public audit act, then it's complete.
If we satisfy then we can maybe use it each time.
The alternative would be, of course, to mention specific sections in Chapter 9. Which would mean one, the generic provision that the Article of Chapter 9 institution, and two, the specific provision that relates to the Auditor General. What section goes to the Auditor General?
188.
What does 188 say?
Just to read it now. Functions of Auditor General. Sorry?
Is there anything else apart from the functions of it?
Functions of Auditor General is the heading. It starts off with 188, subsection 1. The Auditor General must audit and report on the accounts, financial statements, and financial management of all national, provincial, state departments and administration, B, all municipalities, and C, any other institution or account entity required by national or provincial legislation to be audited by the Auditor General. Subsection 2, in addition to the duties prescribed in Subsection 1, and subject to any legislation, the Auditor General may audit and report on the accounts, financial statements, and financial management of A, any institution funded from the National Revenue Fund or Provincial Revenue Fund or by a municipality, or B, any institution that is authorized in terms of any law to receive money for a public purpose. Subsection 3, the Auditor General must submit audit reports to any legislature that has a direct interest in the audit and to any other authority prescribed by national legislation. All reports must be made public. Subsection 4, the Auditor General has additional powers and functions prescribed by national legislation. That's what I hear.
Yeah, so that section does not relate directly to the which means we revert to Section 181. I think Section 181 essentially captures it. The one about it must report that it's accountable to the public. What subsection of Section 181 is?
It is 181, subsection 5. These institutions are accountable to the National Assembly and must report on the activities and performance of their functions to the Assembly at least once a year. That's 181, subsection 5.
So I think we can then say read with Section 181, subsection 5. Yeah.
Chairman, I don't know if we should have the heading mandate of the committee, but before we start, you see, that is correct, the standing committee. We were established in terms of that section.
Yeah.
right? But before that, we say what caused the office of the Auditor General to be established. The office of the Auditor General was established in terms of Chapter 9 of the Constitution, and its functions are set out in Section whatever, 188.1. So that deals with the establishment of the Auditor General. Then we come in and say how we came about. We came about in terms of 55. So I agree with you that we should mention that in Chapter 9. First, how was it born? It was born out of the section, Chapter 9 of the Constitution, and its function set out in 188. And we were born out of Section 155.2. So it completes the starts the picture correctly.
Well, I think a point was made earlier to say that we are two distinct spheres. Parliament is one sphere, Chapter 9 is another sphere. What some people may call the fourth step. Given the three spheres of government, the legislative, the executive, and the judiciary, they become the fourth arm, if you like. So we don't necessarily, I think, have to substitute our ancestors to them, because we are an entity in our own land, we belong to our own sphere. So we should actually confine ourselves to where we are, but only talk about the role that we play for Parliament in relation to the aims of the the approach is fine as far as I'm concerned. As long as we are clear as to exactly what is the constitutional authority that provides for our aims. The constitutional authority that provides for our existence, first is Section 5.2, as everybody has correctly corrected me, or assured me in terms of my doubt. And secondly, Section 181, sub-5, where we, on behalf of Parliament, hold the, in this case, the agent of the country. Section 188 does not talk to us specifically. It talks to the role of the AG and the relationship in relation to public accounts, to Parliament, which brings GOBA into that equation. But it does not need to overplay. So we only need to refer to 181. What is it? 5. Yeah. I think we can keep it the way it is. It's nice and simple. And just add that 181. But that would be my suggestion. To do anything further would be complicated. Alright? Yes.
Finally, we are agreed to be certain 55-2.
Yes.
Not read with.
Red with Section 181.5. Red with Section 181.5, which is a specific section in Chapter 9 that relates to us. We can't find anything else in Chapter 9 that relates to us other than that section. Yeah. Alright, so shall we move on then? Back to you, comrade facilitator.
Thank you, sir. We are on page 5. Any comments?
Chairperson, page 4, just a couple of what you call it, punctuation. 1, 2, 3, 4, bullet point 4. The Auditor General must issue a code of conduct, right? Comma, after consultation. Good. Then, not 5, then bullet point 6. The Auditor General must determine, comma, after consulting, so comma. Because it's a
separate thing. Yeah. And then the next one is the auditor general must appoint a comma after consulting the story, comma. That's the word.
Okay.
I'd also in the same vein add in the third bullet, the auditor general is accountable to the National Assembly. Bracket section 3B of the PAA and section 1815 of the Constitution.
Any other comments? Can we move to page 6? Basically what we've got here is just the general overview of the functions of Parliament and specifically the committee. Very generic, although I've made some amendments to the text of the committee. Any comments there?
I'm just going back to the five, sorry, about the key issues for the committee. It's not an issue for us oversight for you. That it's feature there. Whether it's an oversight visit to the office of the Auditor General, whether it's an oversight visit to another Auditor General in another country, or whether it's an oversight visit somewhere, is that not something that we as a committee should be doing?
Five.
Liaise with international counterparts to benchmark oversight practices of Supreme Court. Yeah, that can be a dangerous liaison. I'm talking about oversight visits. I mean, where this committee is entitled to conduct oversight visits, like other many other committees. Our head finance is going to it somewhere. And we, so far, from the time I've been there, we haven't conducted a single oversight visit to see how officers of Auditor General work in relation to the legislative assemblies that they may have in respective countries.
I think first my honorable thing is saying to me the missing link. In the first minute when I went through this document, I thought I'll come up with it at the end. Maybe it's an oversight from my side because I also came into the meeting. But and on this one I'm also under correction. But it's exactly what the honorable thing has said. But what I find missing in this document is the program of the committee. That will include that oversight. And I think as the committee, we have taken place and time to do that. We have that program. And since we deliberated on that program, I've not seen any document or any draft of it, if you remember. We did that, I'm not sure if any details was of the we did that. In that program, we have the oversight. We have targeted areas. We even proposed the provinces. in terms of priority. In this program, we really said for this year, if we can at least have 1/3 as one of our overseas. We have that kind of a program. So I thought it has a missing link into this book, into the whole of what you are over doing now. And this program is more detailed and it has tempering on it. So if I'm not mistaken, I think we need to find a way to incorporate it into this because it speaks directly to the committee. What are we going to do for the whole of 2010? We have done that. But my worry is that it's not here. I've not seen it since we deliberated on it. And also on that, we mandated the chairperson to go back and talk to the Deputy Auditor General because one of the activities in that program was that we must join the AG during the roadshows. But our role as the committee during those roadshows was not clearly understood. So we said the chairperson must meet with the DAG and find a way to define our role during those roadshows. So I'm saying we have a detailed program that must form part of that because it's our guiding document as a committee. So I'm not sure how to really incorporate it into this. But if I'm out of order, it's okay because I was not very interested in it before I came yesterday. But I think the sooner that we can have this and without that, based on I'm a new member, but in some of the committee I'm sharing with, it has a program of the committee. But the matter is, how do you incorporate it?
Do you want to
add?
Yeah.
Look.
Look, this process overtakes all other processes that occurred preceding it. After this process, everything must fall in line with it because this is much more strategic, more comprehensive. Yes, we did develop a program then, and possibly what may have happened is that, you see what happened, somebody came to my office one morning and told me that Captain, you now have a new secretary. I haven't seen Neo since last year, except one bumping into each other at some activity that she was busy with another person. So this is the kind of challenge you have in this institution, is that it's never a proper handover. The committee secretary that's sitting next to me has never seen that program, for example. But anyway, you will recall that in that program, the section that dealt with the roadshow, the entire list of dates that we were finished at the time were ending the end of March, I think it was. And what we had agreed was that this is fairly short notice. Some of the dates had already gone at that time. I think we met in February. But we said the members must indicate their availability to the secretary for any of the days that they listed there, so that we from this side can facilitate their attendance in case they wanted to attend, for example, a roadshow that is outside of their province. But if it's something that's happening in their province and it would not be too difficult for them to attend, they may then someone go there and just attend. But at least we would need to have a record of that. So it was on the understanding that members would indicate their availability that we would then engage with the agent office based on that information. Now, to date, and of course the schedule was there, but it's really, to everybody who was there. To date, I haven't received any information. Did you receive any information from any member? I never received any indication from any member indicate can be added in the individual in respect of any of those things that remain. As far as the rest of that program is concerned, we have agreed that we would do an oversight visit, we would do oversight visits targeting two or three provinces where the greatest problems are with regard to services, especially at local government level. Whether those days coincide with the AIDS roadshow program or not, but that we would have a specific program that looks at doing the oversight program. Now what has then happened is that Parliament itself set up an ad hoc committee specifically doing the oversight burden on the issue of service delivery. So the issue became, do we request to accompany those committees so that there is no duplication? That ad hoc committee where it goes.
Okay. I think what I've said, maybe you are more detailed than you are in what you have said, and you are not interested in this is my work, but other people like to see the same. My simple proposal of that, whether all what you are saying happens and is relevant or not, we need that red program to be used so that it can be revisited if it is needed and revisited. Because what I remember in that which we said, can you check with you who said whether the AG is taking a roadshow or what? There's nothing that says the committee cannot follow up, do follow up where the AG has already done roadshow in a form of an oversight visit, even if the ad hoc committee. Because our responsibility is to say, in terms of the AG's reporting to this municipality, these are the AG's recommendations. Our oversight will be, what have you done in terms of the AG's recommendations as a stakeholder, as a individual? Because we'll be getting a report from the AG. Because one of the key issues that was raised in that meeting, maybe emanating from the AG's report, was that part of the problem in the municipality is the leadership part of it itself. So we're supposed to be there and check the implementation of AG's.
What I'm trying to get I'm sure I take long to explain what I'm trying to say. By way of responding to your question, I took a long and winded route. Maybe let me try and take a shortcut. Mm-hmm. In short, what I'm saying, all right, is that yesterday we started a process that overtakes any other process that we had before yesterday. Because the exercise of developing that program, all right, was simply to focus on the program. Now we're focusing on the whole strategic plan. Part of that strategic plan will reflect the actual list of activities, not only for this year, but for the entire 5 years. All right? Which means that any issue that we identified in the development of that program, which is your point, would then have to find expression in the strategic plan. Alright? If the strategic plan is not providing sufficient detail, that sufficient detail would be captured in a much more broken down framework, which is a business plan, where dates or time frames would be reflected per list of activities. So the exercise that we did from the morning yesterday was to say, before you get to the activity, before you get to the day, all right, first of all, you need to work out what is your mandate, what are your key responsibilities, this is in the legislation, how are you going to actualize it? Then we came with a set of activities. All right? And out of those activities, would then need to have a column that says by when must these activities be realized. All right? And that begins to give shape to what? To everything that we envisage to do. So you should be able to look at this template here, this table, and say, where are the things that we agree to need to do? If it's oversight, for example, we have said in that program that we have to do oversight visits, municipalities or provinces. Where is that in this document? And it is in that context that you can then raise those issues. All right. But if the suggestion is that we have a printout of that document, I don't know if the committee secretary is able to have access to this document, that can be printed out, circulated here, and then we look at whether there's anything contained there that we have not captured yet. That's a good thing. I don't know if it's clarified what you think.
Chairperson, I'm going to try and propose a compromise between what you're saying and what Congress is saying there. You see, when we look at the document right in the end, the main task for the committee, what we did yesterday, we looked at the statutory duty of this committee as contained in the PAA and in the Constitution. Then we aligned that to activities that we will have to perform as a committee to fulfill those statutory duties. For example, where we say statutory duty is to assist and protect the AG, then our activity is visible in support of the AG. So we focus on our statutory duties and activities. But there are other activities that are non-statutory, which I think we must add in the end as other tasks. And one of those tasks, there are two bullet points I want to suggest. One is to enhance the effectiveness of SCOAG by conducting oversight visits nationally and or internationally in consultation with the AG and Parliament. That's one of our tasks, I feel. Right? And I'm putting the in consultation because there are budgetary implications. Then the second bullet point, I think another task of this committee is to request an adequate budgetary allocation from Parliament to fulfill the obligations of SCOAG. Because every committee gets a budgetary allocation. Right? You serve on many committees, and yet you allocate an X amount. So we need to, you know, always to request and to champion a case for this committee for a particular budgetary allocation. Now, the next thing, logical thing that Parliament is going to ask us as a committee, or the chair, or the manco is going to say, right, you want a budget, you want to have oversight, what is your envisaged program? And can you put a money value to that program? So then we will refer to that program and say, oversight visit to KZN, 50,000 rand. Oversight visit to another province, so much. This workshop X, that Y over this visit. So we'll say we want a budget of 1 million rand or whatever. But that can come later. But for now, I think we need it as an activity.
Can I say I don't have problems with any of that, but I think that we need to follow sequence. If we are saying that we are already dealing with the table, which is this document, if that's where we are at now, then this discussion is relevant, right? But if we haven't got to that point, then we are ahead of ourselves. Because all this discussion we've had now relates to the table there. And everything that's been said about is for the table to ask the question, are all these things actually set here? Now when we get to the table, we can raise anything under the sun. Whether it was in that program or in any other program, it's fine. But let's do that when we get. All right. most important thing is that this is a building block ahead of time. You don't get to the end before you get to the start, right? You must first look at what does column 1 say. Column 1 gives the basis for column 2. Column 2 gives the basis for column 3. It's a building process. So nothing should just jump in without finding a systematic way of linking back to column 1. Alright? Otherwise, we are being unscientific in the way we're doing this. That's why I'm saying, whatever we may have discussed previously and agreed to, let it come. Let's look at it. Let's see whether it will be properly articulated here. Alright? Because this is the ultimate master plan on the course. Nothing else outside of this is relevant. That's why we had to have this workshop in this session. Alright? Yeah. Alright, so where are we? Let's hand it back to the facilitator.
We were on this going back. So okay, no. Any comments on the exhibit?
Are we on farming?
Yes.
Oh.
In the first line I've said the first line under main task of committee, second bullet, it says we consider regulation 1652. I've clarified that it's 1652 of the CAA, which are rather than 4. Are there any other comments?
Let me just indicate that if just to illustrate the point I was making, if you look at the first item under the first column, let's say the second column, statutory duty, it talks to us supporting the AG's office. And then if you look at the third column, it talks of a set of activities that we're going to embark upon. Now that set of activities are very broad. Now I suppose maybe the question might be, do we need to have another column, if you like, or alternatively captured in a separate document, where we're going to spell out specific activities that we're going to be involved in. Because if you take the example of visible support of the AG participate in and support their activities where appropriate, the further question would be what activities, when and how. Right? What are we actually referring to here? My understanding is that what we are referring to here is, for example, the roadshow that the AG's office has planned, where we said at GOEC we're going to go out of our way to participate in those roadshows and be seen to be supporting those roadshows. Alright? That is really what is meant there. And what it translates into is that the program of the AIM, which now is focusing on, is it June, July, Adam?
No.
When is the next round of workshop? June. Now, what this bullet means is that we are effectively saying that come June, this committee is going to look at the program of the AG and identify dates when we can actually make our presence there. That's what this is. But it doesn't spell that out in any detail. if you look at the program that colleague was referring to, that program had basically said on this and that day when the 8th is having those shows, members must indicate their availability so that we can facilitate the attendance of those shows. That's essentially what Buleto Ali is about. That's why I'm saying everything must go back and link back to the strategic plan. The question might be, how detailed should it be reflected here, as opposed to maybe having an additional document where this detail gets spelled out. Alright? Maybe the facilitator should guide us then, how do we resolve it?
Yeah, just in terms of what you said earlier on, that this document will be largely high-level. It contains the package activity, and it just starts preparing an annual or a quarterly or a monthly plan, a program for the committee. I think the detail could be spelled out in there. Because there you will say you need to readily support the activity, and in your accuracy, you may go to do a study visit somewhere and let your people understand. We need to go live, we need to follow
those activities will need to be specified so that they can be costed. All right. And I think that's taking us back to the point that Honorable Devin is raising relating to the program of the committee. And how do we then translate some of the things into a program of the committee? So that's the other issue we need to do. There were some hands.
Thank you. Thank you, Patricia. I was just going to say, the 11th of it, says, let's get another column where it's going to put everything that the Catherine was saying with regard to support, where and when and how to support the forward activity. Then we have this column before the outcome. This is going to spell out everything that you are saying in order to incorporate what Congress was saying. If we all need all everything to appear in this document, that is our problem that she was talking about. Let's have another column that is going to spell out clearly how are we going to assist when and how.
Adele, you had raised your hand earlier on. You wanted to clarify something?
No, it was. Sorry, Chief. No, it was just about the date you asked me about.
Yeah.
October, November for the BMA. Still good in March for the emission aerodrome.
And tell me, are those periods standard every year?
Yeah, Chief, because it's based on the fact that in terms of our timeline from finishing our audit report and then compiling a general audit outcome.
You see, that was the concept that we had. Let me clarify this. Our framework yesterday was if you look at all the activities of statutory duty, you'll find that if you look at the statutory duty, you'll find that they relate to specific activities which are almost routine, which happen every year. And not only that, which happen at exactly the same period of the year, more or less, every year. You see? So we're saying that you can already develop a 5-year plan where your specific activities are factored in, not only for this year, but for the next 5 years. Because that's exactly how it's going to happen. Every October and November, there will be the road show, and we can already now, plan for the road show, for the next road show in October, November, as well as February, March next year. And even, I won't go as far as saying 16 days at this stage, but at least say, this period of the year. You remember we said when it comes to timing, it's either the activity might be ongoing because of its nature, or it could be for a specific period in the year, such as the ones we've just touched on now, the roadshow, or the IR report, and so on. Or it could even be for a specific date. For example, we know exactly what date the Auditor General's mandate is expiring. What was the date?
October 2018.
That's a specific date on which the current AG's mandate expires. So we have some specific dates given in something. So the idea was to say, let's have a column that specifies some of these activities that we do, and not only say at that high level. And maybe we don't need to create yet another document. We need to create a column where we specify as the week has indicated. So yeah. All right. Do we want here and now to go through the full list of activities and to create a column for that? Or do we want to defer that for a write-up that can then be approved by the committee? How soon must we finalize
this?
Yes, Honorable Chair.
One of my agents proposed, we have a program in the community, and we have approved the program. So let's program deal with it.
Okay.
We cannot deal with it now. We don't have time. And the people who have been greeted with the document itself, see, they can accept that program. Going to detail, including the management committee, and we'll see how to create this improvement. As long as someone can be reflected more relevant to the management, as long as we can incorporate these projects, so how far we can validate the management and the people who are sitting in the different things, but we need that program. Because I can tell you the issue that unless everything is not kept up, that's why I'm saying, but let me reserve that for now. In that program, it's not only about the road. And I hear you, Chairperson, when you talk about this program, roadshow. It's not only roadshow.
There
are many activities that we have. And like you said, the issue of roadshow is a program of the age. It's not our program as a committee. You said, you know, I cannot quote you, said, what we can do as a committee, even if we are not there, but we can do oversight on the impact of the roadshow. That means when I then spend some of the areas where the areas have the roadshow to see the impact of those roadshows and the implementation of this communication. But I'm saying that program is more detailed. We just need that program, your management committee, and the people developing the document, if you have it. You can be incorporated. You can adapt, you can be.
Yeah. Okay, I think that's a sensible way forward. What we will do is that we'll run through this template. And then we'll make an adjustment to the template by adding a column where the specific activity, and maybe we'll change the heading activities here, because the kind of activities that are listed here is still high level, have another column where we specify their specific activities, and of course the time frames would reflect when those, the column on time frames will reflect where, when those activities in fact are going to take place. Alright? And in fact, if you look at the issue of the road show, you find that they only relate to one bullet point under activities there. But there are other bullet points in that column of activities which link to a whole range of other things that are supposed to do in that program, as you aspect, fine, we can go that route. But for now, I think, let's just go through the framework, which is a high-level framework, and satisfy ourselves that it captures all the essentiality issues that we think it should capture, or that those issues are captured correctly. And then we'll leave the specific detail of our activities for the program as an additional column as suggested for the program committee, that we can speculate that and get feedback from them. Would that be reasonable? In fact, that annual report, for the program that we agreed on, you notice a lot of those activities would be self-repeating in the second year and in the third year and so on, with minor adjustments that may happen here and there. So it can be duplicated into being our 5-year program and that, by and large. All right, let's proceed from where we are.
Thanks, sir. We were on page 7. We've done the first bit and any comments on the rest of the document page. So I think just to let you know that what we've done through the rest of the document was just formulated. Well, just capturing the discussion. So everything needs to be up if we correctly capture it.
Some of us who are even working this to be suggested, I just want to be sure. Does this say that the LO is yielding the condition? Just assisting and protecting the AD in order, or just protecting, assisting and protecting the AD, does it refer to the AG as AG or the institution itself?
Sorry, AG is AG.
We had an extensive discussion on that specific question yesterday. I think the question was raised by Mr. Singh, and we agreed that it I'm not sure in this context it refers to both as such, but we agreed that the term AG has two meanings, and both of those meanings relate back to the role of this committee. And we're able to demonstrate specific instances where we would be dealing with the AG as an institution, and instances where we'd be dealing with the AG as a person. That in fact, the legislation and the constitution envisage us to also, in some cases, to deal with the AG as a person. The example we gave, for example, in relation to AG as a person, was with regard to fixing the salary and terms and conditions of the AG, which is a specific role that we play under the Act. That is distinct from providing support to ensure the independence of the AG as an institution, for example. But yes, it relates to both generally.
I will make a connection. The second row of any comments? This mask can we remove? Is it? Can we go to page 8? And I think it's there where we've actually captured today the definition.
Yeah.
guided as to how 193 comes into the equation here. I think deals with appointment of statement. Yeah, but my question is still with 193. I wanted to understand how
193.
Okay,
if I could.
The D.
Yeah, section 193, subsection 3, and subsection 4, as well as, of course, 5. It specifically deals with how the Auditor General must be appointed and what the qualification should be. So that's how the link is to the BAA and the appointment. Because the original mandate comes from the Constitution itself, 193.
193, 3 to 5.
Yeah.
So why don't you say 193, 3 to 5?
Yeah.
I've got it there, guys.
Alright.
Page 8.
Sorry, and then what you're saying is, the Oversight Mechanism was consulted in terms of section 193, whatever, whatever, whatever. And then on the next page, and then, and make recommendations to the person for the determination of that in terms of the PAA subsection 1. Because the PAA gives you that.
Take, for example, before you go to page 7, just see that the earlier part. Under the column on activities, the first bullet simply outlines the task. But the specific set of activities. In fact, I think column 3 should, the heading should be tasks. And then the additional column that we're talking about would be the one that's called activities. Because then we're going to spell out exactly what is the activities that the committee itself is going to embark upon to give effect to this thing of recommend, consider, and appoint, and approve nominated candidates. How are we going to do that? Are we going to convene meetings? And when are we going to do that? So in line with what the suggestion, that column would then begin to be that kind of thing. Right. I just wanted to illustrate the point here. Okay.
Any comments on page 8?
Of upcoming vacancy, we should add certain words. Upon expiry, close to expiry of AG's mandate. Close or to what? Yes, sorry.
When we say upcoming vacancies, we must say what vacancy?
Yeah. All right.
Or incidental.
they can be of Committee General Office. They can be from the post of Committee General. Not of the policy, but of policy.
Any other comments?
Firstly, we have to advise them of the vacancy and then advise the National Assembly. And request them, and then, you can collapse them. Yeah, and request them to initiate process.
And we should do the first one first, and the last one first, advise the speaker. Because we just go straight to the House.
But I think in broad terms, when we say inform the National Assembly, we mean inform the speaker.
Through the speaker.
Yeah.
So we could collaborate into our
yeah.
In fact, we simply delete the last column. Because that's assumed in the second from the panel.
Yeah.
So we just have one bullet there instead of two. Can I suggest that everywhere where we say the oversight mechanism, in brackets we should put COVID, so that whoever does not have the background should know who we're talking about.
In the second last column, it's going on a recommendation of audit committee.
Audit committee,
yeah.
Thank you.
It's like with the same command for office. That's line on this line.
Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah, also, when we the next two, when we say August, September, should we not put up each year? Because this is a business plan for a. So each year. Which August, September?
Yeah. I think that.
Because it's taking for granted. Because the other one you put 2013. Here we're just putting August, September.
Because I think that aspect is something that.
It's not unique to that item. When we realign the column on time frame, we'll look at a formula of being able to separate for somebody to see whether it's a once-off thing or whether it's something that's going to repeat every year, etc. So those kind of because we went through that. to provide greater specificity to everyone, not just me.
Chair, may I suggest that you find these applicants already 5.10 and some of them have been checked out.
Chair, could I include on my slide 11?
Unless anybody wants to suggest any addition, let's not go page by page. Let's just present it. This program has everybody gone through all the pages. I only release you if you have looked at all the pages.
Page 11.
Can you raise your right hand and swear that you have
page 11. It's consultation when? Not on that.
Are you going to raise your hand?
About
years.
All right.
Remember that you have committed yourself that you have seen everything in the document and you agree.
All right.
I think maybe what we need to do at this stage is to say, leave it to us. The vision and mission as well is something that in a normal committee meeting, we'll have to schedule a meeting where we formally approve the final document, maybe following the return period. We'll need your maximum cooperation in order to start to get everybody clear, so that we can formally adopt a final text that we have been working on.
Chairperson, just one point before I leave, because I want the issue which was raised earlier by Comrade Servant about the oversight visits and things like that, for that to be included as other activities right in the end.
I'll tell you what we're going to do with all of them is that we're going to locate an appropriate space within the framework. Because everything must flow from column one. If it's not flowing from column one, then we can't justify. All right? Whichever way we do it, but it must flow from. But we know the issue.
Thank you.
We'll find the other line for
you. Enjoy Eastern.
All right, colleagues, the guy has. Perhaps at this juncture, given that we are no longer a complete set, we shouldn't do much more than we have been able to do unless there are critical issues anybody wants to raise. Can I assume that we have all generally gone through the whole document and we are generally comfortable with what's contained here, but that we give the management committee the license to go and work through the rest of the detail that we talked about, and that come the next meeting, that's when we will actually be formally adopting this, and we'll leave the technical team to go back, work through this, and factor in those things, and then we'll table that for adoption at that meeting. And only then we can go back to Parliament as our planning this time. Are we all agreed?
Agreed.
Yeah. Facilitator, secretary, Adele, anybody still has anything to raise before we round up?
It's unfortunate that the members have already gone. Yesterday I raised the point that we have to discuss the issue of that particular person who cancels our accommodation. I think it's a serious one, but we can just
discuss it in the next meeting, because I think it's very, very serious.
Yeah.
Because if you were not strong enough to challenge those people, this workshop wouldn't have taken place.
Maybe I should ask the secretary to give a quick report on that, because I got a call from him, and today the person whose number I was given has never answered my call or responded to my SMS. So I assume that person didn't want to talk to me. But if they did, they could at least have responded to my SMS. Committee Secretary, do you want to just briefly report on the challenges relating to the logistics for
the funding the funding application was approved by everyone. With the process says that we have to go to Mr. Bakela first as the House Chair, and then he has to go to the Chief Whip also. They both approved it, but it also says that it has to go through the head of committee section, the LOD, Maskezwa. Now, in the absence of Maskezwa, and she was in absence, it goes to the secretary. Because the amount was so high, and Maskezwa not being available, it had to go to the secretary of parliament. Unfortunately, the secretary was not available. After the secretary, there is Mr. Lamani, who works in the office of the secretary. And he's the one that turned it down. And we were informed by our unit manager that part of it, because the last time when we saw the chairperson, we mentioned to him that it's just that part of it that needs to be approved. But it has been approved by all the others already, so it was just going to be a question of this person's time. Unfortunately, that's not what happened. The person turned it down and felt that members can sleep in the villages. That's quite of everything and so on. So we had to get in touch with the chairperson and inform him about that. But the person later on, after I suppose the chairperson had sent us email, changed it. But by then we had already problems because we did not know whether we should cancel the stuff. As you know, when you are booking accommodation and so on, these people, it's a business. They don't wait for anyone to come to tell them that, no, we have to do something else and what to do. So we were very much unprepared, and this workshop was in trouble of not taking place. But they gave a call later on, I think after the intervention of the chairperson, to our unit manager to say that he's reversing his... Senators of refusing, and he gave approval and signed. And that's how it materialized.
Is the same happening with the Ramani who is that?
Yes.
Does he have the authority to refuse the committee after everybody has approved? Does he have the authority to refuse?
My problem, don't remember, is that I've never experienced it before, so I don't really. Maskezwa always approved. Maskezwa is always available, so we've never had to go this route. In fact, even for you to go to the secretary. So I don't really know, but I do know that he's someone that works just in the secretary's office. So I'm not really sure to whether he has the authority to approve or something.
I think that given the fact that colleagues have to be left, let's not delay by it, to be honest with you. I think it's clear where the problem was. What remains for us to look at what is the appropriate corrective measure going forward. I think if the committee agrees, what I need to do as chair is to write to both the secretary and the committee chair and report on this with the fact that the committee secretary has provided. And express, you know, our displeasure as a committee at the manner in which
we get treated such as the incident like clearly that person was a junior official who assumed powers that are far beyond him, and it was an incumbent of him to behave in that way. If either that person does not understand what their magic state of being is, then their powers or is just plain mischievous, one of the two. But I think we I'll suggest that as far as we can take it at this stage and see what kind of response. When I spoke to Mr. Rafaela, he said he's taken aback himself because what they have approved, he does not understand why any official would decide otherwise. So I think between my intervention and his probably intervention with that official, although he never came back to me either to give me feedback to say I've spoken to that official, etc.
And Mr. Lamani is acting secretary at the moment. He's chief operating officer at the moment. So just for when you're at it, you know.
Thank you very much. But, acting secretary cannot, usurp power that he does not have of approving or disapproving things that have been approved. All right.
I think technically this is the right procedure. I was just going to suggest that maybe you write a letter to them, telling them how I have to do this procedure in the conference. Yes, I think that's the point.
All right, colleagues, then it remains for me to do the ritual of expressing my their gratitude for putting aside your family commitments, your constituency work, political engagement, funerals, weddings, birthdays and everything else, to fly down to Cape Town when Parliament is already closed to make this thing happen. Because if we did not make this sacrifice, we would continue to be the, we have already been labeled for the AFD members as the worst performing study group elsewhere. So it was just going to make matters worse. We were one of the remaining six committees that had not yet adopted this. We can keep on explaining why, but at the end of the day, at some or other point, we have to do this thing and have that done. So I'm really grateful to all of you for the sacrifices you have made here today. And we have already discussed the way forward.